Speaking on this program is Mark Lantz.
Good morning. If you would, open your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Today's reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from the house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
Good morning to everyone. We have a nice crowd here, and we do have those that are visiting. We're especially glad to have you here and hope that you'll come back every opportunity that you have. If you are visiting, please take out an attendance card and just place it in the collection plate as it's passed a little bit later in our services. We would like to have a record of your attendance here and hope that you'll come back in the future and be with us. This morning, we want to talk about the Lord's Church and how great it is. And the Lord's Church is not one of all the denominations. In fact, it's not a denomination at all. The Lord's Church is different than those religious groups that you see out there. And you see some similarities in churches. But brethren, the Bible is very distinctive in what it teaches. And we are to follow God's Word and not man's Word. What does God's Word say? And I think we have a very good illustration that virtually everybody is familiar with now. There was a group that said the world was going to end yesterday at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Well, guess what? We're still here. It didn't happen. And that was a prophecy that didn't come to pass. That means that man was a false prophet, doesn't it? And we are not to hear those that are false prophets. But now, people look out and say, well, people do good things in different churches and one's good as another. Well, I doubt that. I understand that even some people killed themselves. Well, I don't want to be in that group. What if you follow him? What if you're even still alive? You find out that what he's been teaching all this time is not true because it's not according to what the Bible says. We want to do what God says, not what some man says. We want to do what God says according to his will. A lot of people have Bible studies, and how they have them is they close the Bible and don't open it and say, well, what do you think? How do you feel? What do you want to do? And they do things to please man and not to please God. But man's not the one that is in control. God is. And we need to look at God's will to see what he wants us to do. No, the Lord's Church is not a denomination. Brethren, it is different than any other group that you will ever see. Now, there's a reason for that. We follow God's pattern. And God has given us a pattern to go by. Isn't it incredible that you can read the Bible and some people say, well, here's why it doesn't mean what it says. Well, the God meant what he said, and he tells us plainly in words that we can comprehend. The plan of salvation is not complicated. It's written where man can understand it. Let's notice some scripture. First in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we see that the Lord said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things." Now notice this, "whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." He didn't say what somebody else teaches. He said, "what I have taught you." Yes, in some people's mind, that is too narrow. Because some would say, Jesus can't be the only way. Well, He is the only way. There's no way to go to the Father but by Jesus Christ. You can't get to the Father any other way. And there's not another Savior out there. And if we want to be a Christian, brother, we're going to have to do what the Bible says. And one of the passages that scripture that Trey read for us, Acts 2:38, we're going to look at that in a moment. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? For the remission of sins. If that is not true, when did it become untrue? If it has been changed by God, when did He change it? Well, in fact, it hasn't been changed at all. It still reads the same today as it did the day that it was written. It doesn't have to be changed. It doesn't have to be altered. And brethren, what if today we teach the same thing that they taught on the day of Pentecost when the church was first begun? Well, it will make us the same thing that they made them. But now what if we do something different than this book says? It's going to make us something different than what they made them. Now, isn't it incredible? Some will read that passage, "repent and be baptized." And they say, "well, you don't have to be baptized." Well, why not take the other one? How about take repentance and say, "well, you don't have to repent. Just keep on doing the same thing." How do you know which one to pick and which one to choose? Well, if you take God's Word, you won't pick and choose. You will take all that God says about this subject or any other subject, and you will obey all that God has said. Some people, "well, as long as you believe in God, and I believe as much as you do," well, the demons believe and tremble. Nobody expects them to be in heaven. Nobody would expect Satan to be in heaven. Yet he believes. He knows that God is real. Well, since he believes, he has faith, why won't he be saved? Because he is not willing to submit to God. And today, it's still true, if we will not submit to God, we will not be saved. Now, we notice also in Scripture, if it comes up, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, notice this, "as obedient children." See, that was written to Christians. Not everyone is obedient. But to, "as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." Ignorance of what? Ignorance of what God said to do. I didn't know it was wrong. I didn't know what we were doing was wrong. I thought everybody did it. Well, maybe they were. He says, "you don't walk that way anymore in your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy." Now, in all manner of conversation, everything that you do in life, because it is written, "be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, God has us to be holy. How do you know how to be holy? Well, that's what everybody decided. No, there's only one way that you're going to know. You're going to have to read God's will. You're going to have to see what God tells you to do. And that's the reason that we have Bible classes, so we can study God's Word. But now we look at denominations and say, well, what they teach is not what God teaches. They may teach some things that are same. But brethren, even among our own people, it's not unusual to see people teaching things in the Lord's church that are not according to Scriptures. I saw one man do this Friday. I was on my Facebook account. And he would act as though he's asking a question. He's been a member of the church probably longer than I have been. But his so-called question was, "Mark, what do you think about children's worship?" Well, start with, it's unscriptural. The Bible doesn't tell us to separate the children during worship and have them a separate service. You read in Acts 20, and the church came together. You read in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23 in particular, the church, the whole church, came together. We don't see anything about children's worship that is separate and apart and different than what the other assembly is. But what I found out, he wasn't asking a question to begin with. He was already doing it, and they were practicing it. He wanted somebody to agree with him. Well, that's not how we go to the Scriptures. Now, I pointed out to him, his point was, well, the Bible doesn't say not to use it. I pointed out, brother, the same line of reasoning justifies instrumental music. The Bible doesn't say not to, but it tells us what to do. And that eliminates everything else. And one thing is obviously, he didn't have a single scripture as to what the Bible said to give an example or command of it. Brethren, we're interested in what God says for us to do. And when he tells us what to do, that eliminates everything else that there is. Now, the passage that Trey read for us, a very important passage, but notice what it says here. And this is the day that the church was established, back on the day of Pentecost, after the Lord had ascended back into heaven. Beginning in verse 36, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God," not man, "that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified." Now that's the audience that he's preaching to. Those that were guilty of crucifying the Christ. Now, our sins do the same thing, because it was our sins, everybody's sins, that put Jesus on the cross. But that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they heard the gospel proclaimed, "You're guilty of sin." He didn't say everything that you do is okay. He said there's some things that you've done that are wrong. When they heard this, they were pricked in the hearts. The mind, not the blood pump. They didn't have something that pierced their blood pump. They had something that pierced the heart of man, and that is the Word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What shall we do in reference to what? To the fact that we've crucified the Christ, the fact that we are guilty of sin, what shall we do? He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? For, here's the reason you are to repent and be baptized, for the remission of sins. Now he says this and says, "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He says, notice this, "For the promise is unto you," those standing there, "and unto your children." But he didn't stop there. He says, "And to all that are far off," everybody. How are you going to be saved? You're going to be saved the same way. Now that's what an inspired apostle said to do. We have no authority. We have nobody has granted us permission, certainly not God, that says that it's okay to change the pattern that God has given us to become a child of God. It still reads the same. Now, isn't it strange? Some will read this and say, "But you don't have to be baptized." How do you get that? How do you get that out of that scripture that you don't have to be baptized? And it says that it's for the remission of sins. Well, if you're not baptized, your sins are not washed away. Your sins are not forgiven. He says also, "It's to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now, how did he call them? They preached the Word. They preached the Gospel. How are we called today? By the Gospel. The preaching of God's Word is still how people are called. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward or perverse generation." Now notice this, "Then they that gladly received his Word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now you have to understand, they're in Jerusalem, where the church started, and there's thousands upon thousands of people that have gathered. Not just 3,000. Not everybody submitted to God. Not everybody obeyed Him. But about 3,000 did, and the Lord added unto to the church daily, such as were being saved. We're going to see that in verse 47. But in verse 42 he says, "And they continued steadfastly." What do they continue steadfastly in? He tells us. Well, we don't know. We just have to wonder. We have to guess. No, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, when they did this, what took place? The same fellowship and the breaking of bread. We did that this morning, the Lord's Supper. They continued to do that and in prayers as they had been instructed. How did they know how to continue? Well, it wasn't by guesswork. They were instructed by God. They continued in what the apostles taught them. Who taught the apostles? Jesus Christ. And He sent the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, to come and guide them, the apostles, into all truth. And now we have the complete revelation of God. We have the complete truth. And we know what God wants us to do. And that is what we are to continue in. Not what some man says. What if you continue to what that man said that was going to take place yesterday? Well, you find out that you couldn't be saved that way. Why? He altered the pattern. In Matthew 24, verse 36, it says, "No man knows the hour or the day." This man says, "I do. I know the hour. I know the day." Guess what? God was right. He's been found a liar. And everybody that speaks contrary to the will of God has been and will be found a liar. But notice this. When they taught the Word of God, it says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." And all that believe were together and had all things common. Now, you could take verse 44 out of context and says, look, they just had to believe. That's to ignore what the other scriptures in the same context are saying. Because you read verse 38, they repented and they were baptized. Now, those believers, those that had obeyed, it says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Notice this. It didn't say join the church of your choice. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How did He add them to the church? His Son died for it. Jesus Christ died and established the Lord's church. You see its beginning here in Acts 2. The Lord added them to the church. Now, He couldn't have added them to the denomination. How do we know that? Not a single one existed. They came many hundreds of years later after the Lord's church was established. They deviated from the plan of God because they were not satisfied with what God said. They changed it. And today we see people altering God's plan. They're doing their own thing, walking their own way, not as God would have them to walk. Brethren, it does matter what we are a part of. And here's one thing that we have to understand, and this is the reason we have the class in the back, why I am a member of the Church of Christ. Because there's people that are members, sometimes they don't even know why they're members. Well, my family has been, it's a tradition. Brethren, we need to be members of the body of Christ, members of the Church of Christ, because God tells us to. Not because it's the closest place around, not because they have the nicest building, the people are friendly. I know some people there. Those are nice things, but it's not a reason that we're a member of the body of Christ. We're members of the Church of Christ because God has instructed us to. Now let's go back and break down some of these verses. Let's look at verse 36 again. Now notice what he says here. Therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified. Jesus was the focus of what they did. And today, Jesus should be our focus of what we do. Why are we here this morning? Not to be seen? Not to see somebody else? We're here because of Jesus, aren't we? We're here because He did come. He was crucified. He was resurrected. He did ascend back to heaven. Therefore, we're here. Jesus is the point that we center in on, and He should be the central point of our worship. Not man. What some man had said. What happens when we follow men? Look what happened yesterday. It didn't come to pass what this man said. But what about these other men that are saying something? What about the ones that say you don't have to be baptized to be saved? What about the ones that say it doesn't make any difference? One church is as good as another. They're all going to be found out to be false prophets because what they say will not come to pass. But brethren, here's the sad news. How many people, how many multitudes of people are going to be lost because they followed what some man said and not what God said? Now, when we say what some man said, you need to even investigate what we say. Now, that's one thing you're not seeing those people do. They're not challenging the people. Take your Bibles and see what we say. See if it's true or not. According to the Scriptures, they don't want you to investigate for some reason. Now, is that because you might find out what they say and what the Bible says is two different things? Remember back in the days of Hosea, he said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It wasn't because it was not available. It says they rejected knowledge of God. Aren't we seeing people do the same thing today? Rejecting the knowledge of the will of God in order to follow men and in order to follow that which is pleasing to man and to self. What makes us happy? Now, if you simply tell the truth, you may not sell as many books. Everybody may not like you. But now if you say, everybody's okay, just believe what you want, do what you want, and everybody's going to heaven anyway. Well, they pat you on the back, good job, we like you, and they may buy more of your books. But you're going to be lost if you follow man instead of God. Because God is the only one that we can follow. Jesus Christ, the church that He died for, is the one that we want to be a part of. What else is different about the church of our Lord? We see the passage that we read, but now notice in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There are demands that the gospel makes of us. Well, I don't see that I have to be responsible to the Lord's church. Boy, there's members that feel that way, don't they? And so many people are not sowing the seed of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. See, the very first passage that we started out with, go into all the world. Brethren, that's a command given to all of us. See, there are certain things that are expected of us as God's people. If the Lord died for the church, if the church belongs to Him, doesn't He have the right to set the requirements, what He expects of us? But we come to services sometimes to what pleases man, what makes me feel good. Rather than that takes the focus off the wrong person. It should be Jesus Christ. What does He want me to do? And brethren, there are commands that God does give us. There are things that He does expect out of us. And He has that right, doesn't He? To expect something out of us. Let me ask you the question this morning. The demands that God gives us through His Word to be faithful unto death, are we doing that? Now, we personally need to know that there's the difference between the Lord's church and a denomination. If we don't believe that, if we don't understand that, these people that we see out here in these denominations, we're not going to go to them and take the gospel to them. Why? Well, if I don't believe they're lost, why should I go to them? But if we understand what the truth is, the Lord's church is different, then we're going to go to those people. But here's something else we must understand. Not only are people in denominations lost if they don't turn to God, if we don't go to the people that are lost, we are going to be lost. But see, that was a commandment. Go in all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The Great Commission, as we call it, that's given to us. So therefore, if we don't go and we don't take this message, not only will the world be lost, those in denominations will be lost, but brethren, if we don't do what God has commanded, we're also going to be lost. You realize that's our purpose in being here, is to prepare for the life that is to come. It's not to please self. And there are some things in life that are enjoyable, and God has made them for our enjoyment. Yesterday, for the very first time, got to go to the D-Day Museum. Very incredible place to see. That's some of our history for this country and for the entire world. That's incredible to see. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not our purpose in life, is not to entertain ourselves. Our purpose in life is to glorify God and to teach others the gospel so they can be saved. And when we live a life that is centered around Christ, our life has meaning. And if we live any other way, we only enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But brethren, that season is going to end and the judgment will come. No, we don't know the hour. We don't know the day. But brethren, we do know that it's going to come. And therefore, based upon those facts, we submit to God. Not to man's plan, but what does God say? Now we also read in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, we realize we all fall short. But I still want to ask a question that's different than that. We know we all fall short. God tells us that we do. But are you serving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul? There is no such thing as serving God on the first day of the week only. It can't be done. That is to be unfaithful to God. Are you trying to teach others? Well, I don't try to invite people. I don't go out and study with people. But I love God as much as you do. You can't. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, you'll do it sometimes. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. He's not asking too much of us. He's not asking something that we can't do. He's only asking that which we can do. But He also expects us to do that. But are you serving God with all of your heart? Are you doing all that God would have you to do? We read also the verse 38 that we've read already, breaking it down. He says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized. See, man does have something that he must do. Now, something that you don't see here. Sometimes it's important as to what we do see, but also what we don't see. They had a question that we noticed in verse 37. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Here's what he did not tell them. He didn't say, pray and let Jesus come into your heart. Why didn't he tell them that? It's not God's plan. And you don't see anywhere those by inspiration telling people, come to the mourner's bench and pray and let Jesus come into your heart. He never tells them that because it never was God's plan. But he does tell them to repent. And here's something else, brethren, we need to stop in for a moment. Some people want to be baptized only. You know, some people want to eliminate baptism, but some people want to omit the repentance. Just let me be baptized. You know, if somebody is not willing to repent, they're not a candidate to be baptized. Because he says, repent. What is repentance? A change of heart. A change of mind. I was living this way in the world. I was living for Satan. But I'm going to repent of my sins, and therefore I will give up those things. If you haven't given up those things and you went down to the water, that's not going to do you any good because you haven't met the requirements before baptism. It's not baptism only. Brethren, we must be willing to repent of our sins. Now, we cannot judge somebody's heart because I can't see what's in somebody's heart. God can, and I'll leave that to Him. But we can say this. Sometimes, obviously, some people leave a lot to be desired. They go through the motions, and it leaves a lot to wonder about. Did they ever obey God to begin with? It doesn't seem like it ever takes. There's certainly no roots that grow downward and grow fruit upward. There's nothing taking place. Brethren, our lives should reflect something that produces fruit. And we know what happens to a branch that does not produce fruit. It's cast into the fire and burned up. It's destroyed. Why? Because it doesn't produce anything. And this morning the question comes to us, are you producing fruit? If we're not, we need to look at our lives. We need to cultivate the tree. We need to do something to it. Because our salvation is what's at stake. But now, not only ours. What about your children? Your grandchildren? Your spouse? Your neighbors? Your co-workers? Your friends? If you don't take it that seriously, how can you expect them to? If it doesn't mean very much to us, why would it mean something to somebody else if we don't take it that seriously? Brethren, if it really means something to us, we're going to give our all to it. We're not going to give half-hearted service to it. We're not going to serve God here and leave it off here and take it here. Start with, you can't serve a God like that to begin with. Brethren, we will serve God with all of our heart, all of our being. Everything that we do will be based upon our service to God. In verse 39 and 40, he says, for this promise, there is a promise given to us. And not just to those on that day. He says, and to your children, and to all. That's everybody that are far off. Now that includes every single person. See, the plan of salvation, the one plan, is given to all men. There's not a different plan for those in America and those somewhere else, a different plan. And even in America, it's not, well, you obey God your way and I'll obey my way and we'll walk through the pearly gates together. Sounds good. Bible doesn't teach it. Because there is only one way that leads to salvation. Look at the book and check. Check what God has given to us, because His promise, it still stands. And therefore, I know when I say the same words that Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, I know that I'm saying what God, by inspiration, gave him. And it hasn't changed, doesn't need to be changed, but those that received that word, they obeyed him. They gladly received the word. Now, as we said earlier, not everybody obeyed. Why? Not everybody was glad to hear the gospel. Now, we know of another man. We usually call him the Apostle Paul. But when we first meet him, we know him as Saul of Tarsus. And when we first meet him, he's a very religious man. He's a very zealous man. He's busy. Everyone he believes in, he's going to at least practice it. You can give him credit for that. But he finds out what he's doing is actually persecuting the church. He's not serving God. But now, to his credit, when he finds out truth, he gives up that former religious way. He says, I'm not going to do that anymore. Now, you know what some of his own countrymen did? When he gave up that former way of worship, that former way that he was doing, they wanted to kill him. See, not everybody is glad, even when somebody becomes a Christian. You may have family members that are not glad if you obey the gospel. You may have family members that are not happy if you serve God with all your heart, because you do take it seriously, and they don't. But you keep on serving God, and you never stop. You never give it up, because your salvation is too important to give it up for anybody, to please anybody, to make somebody happy. But if somebody truly loves you, they're going to want you to do what is right. Not just serve God here and there, but give God everything that you have. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Question, do you that have been baptized, are you continually following God? Did you follow Him for a period of time and then stop? If you did, you have lost your salvation. Yes, the Bible teaches we can fall from grace. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Have we stopped serving God? Now, here's one thing we have to understand. Sometimes we serve God, we first obey the gospel, and for whatever reason, something comes into our life, and we stop. Sometimes you see people and they'll come back and start attending services. Still has to be some repentance. Just coming back, that's good. But unless there's some repentance, there's no forgiveness. Except, unless, ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3 and verse 5, the words of Jesus. Just coming back is not enough. It's important. It's good. But you still fall short because you haven't done all that God said to do. In Psalm 55, verse 17, it says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Well, can you imagine that with some people? That'd really just wear it out, wouldn't it? Evening and morning and noon, that means all the time, doesn't it? That's a full life of serving God and praying. I don't want to do that. That's too much. God demands too much. Depends on what you put a value on your soul. Do you value your soul very much? Your salvation? Being in heaven? Or being in hell? I'd imagine if we all opened our eyes in torment, we'd change our mind rather quickly, don't you? It was worth it serving God. Sometimes we may ask because of the difficulties of life, what we see other people doing. Well, I don't know if I want to keep on going or not. Don't know if it's worth it. It is worth it. 1 second in heaven will indicate that it's worth it. 1 second in hell will indicate that it's worth it, won't it? We better count the costs of not serving God on a full-time basis because the price is our soul. And fear came upon every soul. Every soul that obeyed, there was fear. Respect for God. Boy, I'm afraid we've lost that fear today in the Lord's church to a great extent. They respected God and His Word. You know, this morning, J.V. made the comment, and we all can make it. It was about a quarter till J.V. said there was only four people here. Now, obviously, more people came, and we're glad that you came. But why is it, if we're coming to the Lord's church and services, we want to get there as late as possible, don't want to waste any time in there too quick. We go to the movies, we buy the tickets before we go, order them to make sure we got them, get there to make sure we get a good seat, stand in line. Maybe we've got our priorities at the wrong place. Do you think that's possible? Maybe what means the most is not what we're giving the most attention to. Maybe sometimes we need to look at our priorities. How can we sit through a movie for 2 hours, a ball game for 3 hours, possibly more? But boy, if you go over the time limit, that's terrible. Start with, we didn't give a time limit, so the sign says what time we start. It doesn't say what time we're going to finish. Sit through a whole hour of service? Wow, I've just overdone it. Most people don't get up halfway through a movie and walk out and say, well, that's enough for me. I'll come back, maybe see the second half some other time. Maybe next week I'll come back and get that part of it. It's not the way we do anything else. You go to work, they say be there at 7 or 8, whatever time it is, and you stay all day. How? You have to be committed to it. Rather than the Lord's church, these are those that are committed to serving God. All that believed were together and had all things common. Verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They were helping each other. They were together. Whatever it takes, brother, we're going to help you. And brother, that's the way it should be with the Lord's church today. We're in this thing together. We're going to heaven together. And brother, we're going to serve God together. With all of our heart, with all of our mind. And they continue daily. Brother, that's what we must do, is continue daily. You can't stop. And if you have stopped for any reason, can I plead with you? Can I encourage you to come back before it's eternally too late? Now, while there are false prophets, as we have already noticed, and the world saw this one, one thing is rather amazing. Saw when they were showing this man on TV last week, before all this actually didn't happen. Even the announcer on TV said, well, doesn't the Bible say that no man knows the hour? Even they recognize that. I don't know how they are religiously or what they are. If they are at all, they recognize that much out of the Bible. But brethren, just because there's a false prophet out there doesn't mean the truth's not out there. The truth is there. And we can know what it is if we're willing to follow God, if we're willing to expend the time, do what God said, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. In Acts 6, verse 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. During the first century, it was not easy being a Christian. It's not today either. But they were threatened with the lies for serving God. Chapter 8 of Acts, the 4th verse, says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. When things got tough, they didn't quit. They dug their feet in. What if it cost me my life? They knew it was worth it. They would continue to serve God. And verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. If you joined any church, it can't be the church of our Lord, because you can't join it. You obey the gospel. You obey the Bible. And when you do that, when you repent of your sins, when you are baptized, the Lord does the adding. You're not voted on. You can't vote somebody in and out of the church. God added them to the church. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, notice this, the saying commit thou to anybody, and it's, no, commit to faithful men. That indicates some are not faithful. Some don't put any stock in. You can't count on them. But give it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Some's not going to take the time. It's not my responsibility. Let somebody else go. Go ye means go me. We all have that responsibility to do what God has said. Brethren, I hope that you can, through looking at Scripture, see the difference in the Lord's church and those made by men. But even more importantly, we hope that you will obey the gospel if you're not a Christian and repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of sins. God's word has not changed, nor will it change. It doesn't matter what any man may say. And we hope that this morning, if you're here and you're a member of the body of Christ, if you're not serving God on a full-time basis, would you come back today? Don't just think about it. And, well, that's a good thing. I know I need to. You know what that equals? Lost. Would you do it today? We want to go to heaven with you. Will you come as we stand, as we sing? Have you been to